Today's podcast is brought to you by Newspapers.com, the ultimate destination for exploring the mysteries of the past. If you're fascinated by true crime, get ready to dive into the stories that made headlines. Newspapers.com offers a billion pages of historical newspapers from the U.S. and beyond, and you can search the entire collection in seconds. Their vast newspaper collection is a goldmine for eyewitness accounts, crime scene photos, news reports, and more. Whether you're interested in famous crimes or long-forgotten cases, Newspapers.com gives you a front-row seat to more than 300 years of history. For our listeners, Newspapers.com has a special offer. Use the code CUPOFMURDER for an exclusive 20% discount on your subscription. That's promo code CUPOFMURDER at Newspapers.com. Sign up today and start unraveling the true crime mysteries that keep you up at night.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
There were two more murders 15 miles away.
When police arrived, they found the telephones and electricity lines.
We have a weird homicide.
A scene described by one investigator as reminiscent of a weird...
Morning.
Cup of murder.
Some stories have a wealth of information, evidence, and motive. Others can leave you wondering where it all went wrong. On March 29th, 1915, a man was born who... despite committing one of the worst mass murders in Alberta history, is at the center of a case that lacks details. More importantly, it lacks motivation. So if you like your coffee hot but your bones chilled, sit back and start your day with a morning cup of murder. John Eder Clark was born on March 29, 1915, in Stettler, Alberta, and as an adult, worked as a part-time school teacher and farmer who inherited his father's 1,000-acre farm. In 1947, he married a woman named Margaret Dinwiddie, and together, they welcomed four children into their family. In the 1952 Alberta general election, John Clark ran for a seat as a social credit candidate, representing the Stettler district. The four-way race was hotly contested, and ended when John won on the second vote count. In 1955, he ran for a second term, and this time won by a sizable majority. He maintained his membership in the Legislative Assembly of Alberta all the way until June 3, 1956, when he committed one of the deadliest mass shootings in Alberta history. Expected to travel to Saskatchewan on June 1st and failing to show up, on June 3rd, Pete Parrott, a neighbor residing on the farm leased from John, stopped over to the house for a social visit and stumbled upon six bodies. With one of the victims severely wounded but still alive, each member of the Clark family had been shot through the head with a .22 caliber bullet multiple times. After being rushed to the hospital, the last victim, 4-year-old Linda Clark, succumbed to her injuries. Those killed were 36-year-old Margaret Clark, her children, 8-year-old Janetta, 7-year-old Ross, 5-year-old Anne, and 4-year-old Linda, 20-year-old Bill Ola, a sailor on leave who was staying with the family, and 21-year-old George Anderson. From the marks found on their bodies, each victim had the gun pressed either directly to their skin or were shot at very close proximity. Margaret was killed in her bedroom, her children placed side by side on the floor, with two showing signs that they had been killed outside and brought in later. Bill Ola was clearly shot in his sleep, and George Anderson was killed on the porch as he entered the Clark residence after milking the cattle. With John being the only person missing from the scene, a manhunt began for the teacher, farmer, and politician. With 32 RCMP officers traveling on horseback, a team of tracking dogs hot on his scent, and a team of three Mounties on a Royal Canadian Air Force Otter conducting aerial searches, John Eder Clark was found just a few hours after the murders were discovered. His body was lying on the edge of a dugout approximately 600 yards from the farmhouse with a single self-inflicted gunshot wound to the head with the same murder weapon that he used to kill his entire family. Gun lying at his feet, John was dressed as if he was preparing to go to bed. The only explanation investigators could find for the massacre were documents indicating that John had been hospitalized for about a month and a half in 1954 for a nervous breakdown, and again during the legislature's 1956 spring session. The exact reasons were unknown, but there were indications that John had a history of mental illness. Unable to speak with him and get more information, this is all investigators had to go by, and the case was closed without any further answers. Thank you for joining me in my morning cup of murder. Please join me again tomorrow to hear a terrible thing happened on March 30th. Don't forget to rate and subscribe and let me know how you like it. If you want to help support the podcast, there's always Patreon or just sharing it with your true crime obsessed friends. And remember, stay safe.